Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy, and in studio with us right now, two hysterically funny guys, Greg Proops, who has been with us several times in the past, and Joel Murray, who has avoided every one of our invitations, but finally gave
in. I was just walking by, and I saw you in the fishbowl here, and I thought, what the heck?
Might as well come by.
Hello, Chicago.
Nice to have both of you. You guys are here for a good reason. Whose Line Is It Anyway is taking place at the City Winery tonight and tomorrow night, and it's the two of you, and who else?
Ryan, I can't remember.
No one?
The tall guy, Ryan Stiles. Yeah. And Jeff Davis, the guy who can sing really well.
Yeah. It's quite a foursome.
So, you know, there's us and there's dead weight, you know? we've been jogging Ryan around for years now.
And enough of this.
But apparently they pull rank and can stay in bed and we're out walking around in the cold rain.
That's right.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
We have to go out in the morning and do telly and radio while Ryan luxuriates in the bathtub back in the room with his knees outside.
Oh, that ain't fair. That is not fair. Now, Greg, you, of course, a mainstay from the television version of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Sure.
Joel, did you ever show up on the TV version of
it? No, I'm a complete interloper.
Yeah?
I'm an old friend of Ryan's, and I used to fill in at the Second City at Santa Monica, and there was an opening, and he said, well, you try this out, and it's been 5 years, and they haven't kicked me out yet.
Mm. Yeah.
How fun to do it live at City Winery. I love that venue.
We haven't been. But we're excited.
It's very cool.
It'll be fun. We do kind of bigger venues, so it's going to be nice to do something intimate.
Intimate. That means we'll be all over the audience sweating on them.
They can
see our receding hairlines. It's going to be fun for them, I think. But we're still spry as mountain goats. We jump around. We sing. We dance. I was doing an interview last week with this guy who was maybe the worst radio interview I've ever done in my life. It was in Iowa. And I said, we jump around and we're really loud and we do a lot of music.
Yeah.
It's like a musical. And the guy goes, I hate musicals. And I almost went like, I hate radio. Why am I on? I haven't liked the wireless since Marconi invented it.
But it's great to be back in Des Moines.
Joel, I was talking to you off the air. Of course, you're a Cubs fan.
Huge Cub fan.
Nice
still
tie.
Ebullient. I have a Cub tie on. It was a lot of fun. I was here for all three World Series games. I brought my wife, who's a notorious jinx, for the third one, game five.
No.
And somehow they won. They got past Eliza Coyle Murray. So you knew they were a team of destiny.
Is it still, I mean, it's been months now, and we know it happened because we've seen it in the paper and we've seen it on TV. Does it still hit you that it finally happened? Does it throw you?
Yeah, and I coached a lot of Little League and stuff, and when we won the whole big World Series in Los Angeles 1 year, and it's not so much winning as the absence of blowing it.
Yeah.
And it's just this moment, you know, when they, you know, Bryant threw it to first base, and it was just like, oh my God, we didn't freaking blow it.
Right.
And you tried.
We did our best. And Joe Madden made some interesting choices down the stretch, but I'm still pretty excited, though, but more relieved.
I bet that is how Cubs fans feel.
That's what it comes down to, is just because at some point in your life, you realize as you're getting older and older, I may never see it. I may have my whole existence and never see it happen.
I knew a guy that used to be a vendor out at Wrigley, and he said there were so many people dropping ashes into the ivy every game that you had to line it with security guards.
Yeah.
But that was all the people that were never going to see the win. And then a couple years ago, they dug out the whole warning track and replaced it with new stuff. And it was like, oh, all those people are now down in the Skokie Lagoons.
I hope some of the family members saved some ashes, didn't dispose of all of them, because then they can do it again.
Well, yeah. And we like to give them out at Halloween just to keep No, that's a little bit of my Uncle Irv. There you go. Enjoy.
Instead of Lick-A-Maids, you get Uncle Irv. I know what a baseball fan you are, Greg. Were you pulling for the Cubs last year?
Well, I was. We were on the road, it just so happens, last year during the playoffs, and the Giants staggered across the finish line and played the Cubs. So Joel and I were watching every playoff game backstage on his computer screaming, and finally I realized that we were not going to be able to do it, and nor should we have. We weren't the good team. So I started pulling for the Cubs, obviously. The last time the Cubs won the World Series, the Model T had come out 2 weeks earlier, and Theodore Roosevelt was president. The last time the Cleveland Indians won the World Series, Satchel Paige pitched for them.
Yeah.
So it had been a while for both those teams. So I like baseball enough that I was very excited to see the Cubs win. They're nice. Anybody but Boston is my rule.
You know who Wendy and I
talked to? In any sport.
In any sport.
In any sport.
The day after the Cubs won the World Series, Wendy and I had on Bert Hooten, just because when I was a kid, he was my favorite Cub player.
Really?
And even he said, you know, for all of us that ever put on the Cubs uniform, we all all feel like we kind of won last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bert Hooten, wow, you didn't go for the more attractive Paul Ruschel?
Didn't go for Paul Ruschel.
Rick's brother?
Yeah, Rick's slightly larger brother.
Wow. I remember meeting Bert Hooten at a minor league game in the 80s up in Oregon. He was pitching coach up there. He played in the World Series for the Dodgers, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And do you remember his nickname?
No.
Happy. Because he had an 8-year career in the major leagues, didn't smile one time in 8 years.
Yeah, no.
Just refused.
Wow.
Not known.
Way to make a stand, Bert.
Speaking of Cubs,
a weird place to put your flag.
Right?
That's it. I'm not smiling.
This is the hill I die on, Grim Hill. I met Rick Monday years ago, who, of course, a famous Cub as well. And flag saver. He's been the Dodgers announcer for 1,000 years. So I went to the game and... my agent had told him, we had the same voice agent, I guess, at the time. We go back upstairs to meet him, and he's got his World Series ring on from 1981. And he goes, so you're a Giants, because Rick Monday has a deep and mellifluous, you know, sportscaster voice. So you're a Giants fan, eh? Well, go F yourself.
Really?
That's what he said when he met me.
That Dodger hate is strong.
That's crazy. That's so funny. Your brother Bill seems to have gotten tickets to every major sporting event that's happened over the last few years. How does he pull that off? He's everywhere.
Well, he saves his money and he saves up for special things. He doesn't blow it. Well, he blows a lot of it on tipping a doorman and stuff like that and masseuses, but he saves his money. I think he actually got a Cubs ring out of the deal.
Did
too.
He really?
He deserves it.
Yeah, free shoes for the rich kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, who really needs a 108 diamond ring?
He doesn't get the ones the players get.
I don't know. We'll see. I haven't seen it yet, but supposedly I just got a text the other day that says, the package has landed. And that was it.
Nothing else was said.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you saw what he did after the Cubs won the World Series. He somehow stole a Fox News microphone, and he went into the dugout and went into the clubhouse and interviewed players pretending he was from Fox Sports.
He's got a lot of time on his hands, and he was in the moment. He's a great guy.
And he and Eddie Vedder hanging out in all the Cubs games. I expected to see Bill at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when Pearl Jam played. Was he there?
He wasn't there. And was Eddie there even?
Letterman introduced them, inducted them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He just did the hot stove thing in Boston the other night. I've closed the lodge here with Eddie a few times, and he's a great time.
Yeah.
A great Chicagoan, a fine American.
Yep.
Is David Letterman the Unabomber now? What's happening with
it's even longer than the beard.
Wow,
he's
dude.
He's going on tour with ZZ Top.
You're on permanent hunting vacation now? You used to work in New York. Well, he's from Indiana. What do you want?
Yeah.
But I don't get why you do that. I know people say, oh, you have to shave every day when you're on television all the time, so just let yourself go. Do it in another way.
Boo.
I mean,
right.
Have a beard, but groom it once in a while.
Yeah, get a Flo-Bi. Come on. Anything. It's only a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
Joel, I've noticed, and I know you come from a large family, but the kids in the family tend to either go into show business or religion.
Yeah, I was hanging with nuns last night, and I went up to Regina Dominican. They named the stage after my sister, the nun.
Oh, they did.
50th anniversary of hanging out with that guy, Jesus.
What
an honor.
Who
still hasn't put a ring on her finger. It was really cool. It was a very wonderful testament to her.
But Bill got a ring, but your sister has been in the business for 50 years.
Package has not landed.
I couldn't help but thinking when I was looking at all these nuns, how many of them might have seen me naked on American Gods the night before. So it was a little scary, but anyway.
That is a weird feeling,
yeah.
I would imagine.
Hi, sister. Yeah, forgive me.
Greg, here's a question.
They do.
You keep going back and forth between regular stand-up and improvisation. So
yes.
Is there any difference in your brain when you're thinking of things that fits one more than the other?
Well, I like stand-up is, you know, I get to talk about what I want. When you're in the improv group, you can't just stop and step out and go, here's my political opinion for 20 minutes. Yeah. Whereas I can do that in stand-up. And then in the podcast, I can say whatever I like. But I do improvise the podcast as well. So more and more I'm leaning toward not preparing ever. And just doing this kind of thing, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't mind stand-up. I still do it, and I still love it. I try to keep both. For instance, in this group, I'm like Ringo. I'm invited to play. I can keep a beat. But really, Ryan, you know, Ryan just points at the fence and hits taters.
Well, Greg also has enough brain to go around. He has to self-medicate to even put up with my little bit of intelligence that I have. So he tries to keep himself, you know, on a mild hum all the time just to put up with my ignorance.
I'm trying to remember on the show when you were doing the TV version of Whose Line Is It Anyway.
We still are, by the way.
You still are.
I'm the fifth version on fifth season on CW. We haven't come out yet, but soon.
No longer with Drew as the host. The host
Aisha,
now is
Aisha Taylor.
Aisha Taylor.
I love her.
She's so lovely.
Tall.
From time to time, a special guest star would come in, and one particular week, it was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Were you were there for that week?
I wasn't, but I knew Robin because I'm from San Francisco, so I knew him over the years. And he's lovely. To be honest, a show like Whose Line Is It Anyway confines Robin Williams. He doesn't need games to be funny. The times I improvised with him in San Francisco, we would just get up and go.
Yeah.
And he'd be going 1,000 miles an hour. And then he'd get you in a headlock, and he was wildly strong and amazingly sweaty and hairy.
And hairy.
And so you'd be stuffed under his arm and your face rubbing up against his hairy breasts. And
I saw Robin Williams in like 1978 at the Copacabana in New York. And it was like Belushi and Aykroyd and Gilda Radner. Yeah. All these people were there. And they put me at the end of the table. And I just laughed hysterically the whole time. But I was next to this white-haired guy who did not crack a smile the whole time. And I asked my brother afterwards, like, who's the dead wood you stuck me with at the end of the table? I go, well, that's Andy Warhol.
Oh.
Oh. Well, that's different.
I thought it'd be either Warhol or Bert Hooten.
I was going to say, who's the one they called happy?
Let's see if you can drop a better name during this interview.
Greg Proops is here and Joel Murray is here. They're performing as part of Whose Line Is It Anyway at the City Winery. You got a show tonight. You got a show tomorrow night. Visit citywinery.com/Chicago. All the info's there. We'll return in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, Greg Proops, and Joel Murray in the studio with us. They're all going to join forces for a live version of Whose Line Is It Anyway at City Winery. It's happening tonight, tomorrow night. You can go to citywinery.com for all the details and for ticket information. Who else is going to be with you guys?
Ryan Stiles.
And Jeff Davis. And our
and
musical,
Bob Derkesh on the piano.
Bob Derkesh is a musical director of Second City Toronto for 25 years. We felt that there wasn't enough improvisational comedy in Chicago.
Yes.
So
true.
Right. It's like bringing water to Lourdes. We thought, you know, what this town's been missing for a good long time is people who just off the cuff it.
Where can we get a really good suggestion? That's what we were thinking.
Yeah. So we decided to come here. We're excited because we've never actually played inside Chicago. We played Owowa and
Joliet. The most dangerous town.
What's that other crap place we used to play with that had the college, remember, and the sound never worked?
We played in Elgin a couple times.
Oh, yeah. At the Hemmings Auditorium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normal, is it?
Batavia.
Oh. Batavia.
I'm dropping names. We were dropping names earlier.
Batavia,
Now we're getting real
now
scared.
We're getting sad. So we played all around Illinois, but not in Chicago before. So
Hammond. We were at the casino in Hammond, is adjacent to
did
Chicago.
Did you gamble in between shows or anything?
No, it was a frightening gig. We pretty much got in the car and left. One of those ones.
The fun thing about playing at casinos, I don't know if they still do this, but when I did stand-up, they wanted you done on the minute because every minute that the crowd's in there watching you, they're not losing money on the tables.
Yeah, I did a Harrah's gig where we did a Best of Second City show out there for 4 months, and without fail, the people in the front were guys that just lost $10,000 to $20,000.
Yeah.
And they're, hey, here I have a coupon. Go see the comedy show. And they'd be in the front just yelling at each other. You moron! I told you we should have left. You're trying to do a show, and you'd have guys like slapping each other in the front seats. But
we played Onamia, Minnesota a couple nights ago.
A dry casino.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
A dry casino. So
why bother?
Yeah. It was like, wow. It opened with an apology, you know. And that we usually do an encore. And a big thing at the end, and that one we just wrapped it up, and they turned the music on, and we left.
But casino, it was everybody had a cigarette in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other hand. It looked like an AA meeting.
My name's Greg.
I'm addicted to this lodge.
How long have you been on this tour?
Oh, we've only been out for about 5 days now, but we got another 20 days.
Yeah, we're going all over.
But it goes fast, doesn't it? You're hanging out with funny guys. You're goofing off. That's fun.
It's the best gig in town. Yeah, especially if the writer's strike had gone, we would have had the best gig in Los Angeles. But
no doubt.
It's really fun.
No doubt about that. Can I ask you really quickly, both of you have been in so many great things over the years, but Mad Men holds a special place in my heart. Was that as much fun as it seemed to be, Mad Men?
It was fabulous. And the words were amazing. They made you look really good. And everybody on the show was so excited to be on it, so everybody was really did their homework. And like Ham has a photographic memory, so everybody knew their lines and nobody messed around. But it was the best parties I've ever been to.
Really?
I mean, just, you know, you'd be handed an, you know, an old fashioned the minute you walk in the door, and people would just get so hammered, and it was so good, and there was always good music involved, and just to see January Jones carried out of a bar is worth the price of admission. Anyway.
Is that what started the whole resurgence with the Manhattans and the old fashions?
It did, right?
Well, we like to take credit for everything.
Because really, it seemed like all of a sudden they were popular
again.
Men seemed
to be dressing better, too.
Yeah, what's with that? Yeah,
look at Bill.
I don't
know.
Look, guy, barbers are back in business.
Yeah.
Everybody says this about John Hammond. You worked with him pretty regularly, that a more decent guy is impossible to find, and he's really funny, too, and there's nothing to not like about John Hammond.
He's
right?
a Cardinals fan. That might be a fault.
That's more than enough. So there you go. That weighs everything else out.
I remember doing a gig with him a couple years ago, and he goes, you know, I narrated the Cardinals season of triumph when they won the World Series.
Yeah.
Then I did a gig with him the year after when they lost to Boston, and I said, hey, did you narrate the season of ignominy one as well? And he was like, yeah, I only know him from comedy, but he's a lovely guy.
He's a mensch.
Yeah.
We went to the Albert Pujols golf tournament in St. Louis, and he's the favorite.
By the way, I'm
there.
Starting a law firm with Pujols.
Oh, yeah, good.
Albert Pujols. It's Pujols and Proops. Just thought I'd cheer everyone out.
I'd run that by you. But I thought I was going to get the inky underbelly tour of St. Louis from John Hamm, and we ended up literally moving a refrigerator for an older woman, and he stayed and painted her kitchen.
Wow.
Like, yeah, John, I'll see you back at the bar, buddy. But
wow.
Yeah, not my painting clothes. These are more my refrigerator moving stuff.
Wow, a nice guy, too.
On top of all everything else, who's the one guy or girl that you guys have always wanted to improvise with, but for one reason or another, it's just never happened, but you're dying to?
Oh, gee whiz. I don't know. What do you think?
John Stamos, probably.
John Stamos.
Yeah, he's just stunning.
Absolutely.
Rebecca Romijn.
Oh, yeah, she'd be good.
I don't know. We could improvise some people into some boxes.
We've been pretty lucky. I mean, I've been able to improvise with Robin. I got to work with Joan Rivers. I interviewed Jonathan Winters. I wouldn't say I improvised with him. So I don't know. I've been lucky as can be to be in a group where everyone's better than me, which is my advice to you if you're a young improviser out there. Although why you would be a young improviser listening to the radio at this hour, surely you're a bike messenger or something.
I was roommates in college with Dave Pasquazi, who's one of the improvisers in the world, and I was lucky there. And I was in the Second City with Timmy Meadows and Chris Farley, and we had some good times, needless to say. So I've been very fortunate along the way, and I'm real fortunate to be hanging onto these guys for dear life.
It is quite a troop, isn't it?
Yeah. It's coming from slow comedy to play with these guys is literally walking into batting practice with the Yankees all of a sudden.
is Bert Hooten there? I don't know. I just feel like I need to mention
Bert
Hooten.
Get Hooten in there.
We're overpaid and we're arrogant.
It's Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's live on stage right there at the City Winery
it's
tonight.
It's actually Who's Live Anyway? Every time you say that, we have to pay a residual.
Oh,
anyway.
Did they change one letter?
Yeah, we
who's
did.
Live?
Who's
yeah.
Live
we're
is
called
it
Who's
anyway?
Live Anyway?
It says it on my promo stuff line.
I know. It's cost us 38 cents so far.
You could have gone with Whose Line Is It Any Who? People love that.
I did one in Edinburgh a couple years ago called What Does the Title Matter Anyway? Because they wanted it to be as unwieldy and horrible as
That's
possible.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Good marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Whose Live Is It Anyway at the City Winery tonight and tomorrow night? You got Greg, you got Joel, you also have Ryan Stiles and Jeff B. Davis. A great show. Go to citywinery.com/Chicago. Your information's there. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on, Chicago.
Bring on the sun.
It's coming. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then the sun. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.